You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
What's up and welcome to Ichiban Sweetcast, G-Wandering Night 11. Another tasty, bite-sized treat delivered to you from the nondescript Ichiban Sweetcast van. That's right, we're out here on the streets of Perth, Western Australia, and we are going to be breaking on down Night 11 of the G1 Climax 34. But before we do, I have to give an honourable mention to Night 10, Block B. I don't cover Block B. Curtis is going to be covering Block B. But you know what? I'm going to cut his lunch real quick. And I am going to talk about it. Because I thought it was an amazing night of action. It really, like, affected my team in the Stiff One draft as well. So I feel like I just got to talk about it. And I'm going to do it. So, sorry, Curtis. I'm getting in there. I'm wading in, and I'm about to talk about it. So, the main thing, I don't think I'll get super bogged down in it, but there are a couple of key moments I want to talk about. So, first of all, Night 10, just want to talk about, I love Gabe Kidd on commentary. He's so good. The disdain he has for people in his voice, this fucking bully-style laughter, just a hating people, call it a rat. Like, he's just so funny. I fucking love him. Comes across so genuinely a prick, I guess. David Finlay beating the shit out of Oleg Bolton was really fun. ELP getting the win over Yuya was really great. Jeff Cobb and Hanare just absolutely beating each other to death was sick. I loved the respect between them, throwing up the side and the United Kingdom side and then United Empire side and then putting him away was really cool. But homies, what I really got to talk about is the wall of New Japan. Curtis described Goto as the wall. He said, you know, Goto doesn't care about the new generation coming up. He thinks it's good they're coming up, but if they're gonna, they're gonna have to go through him. And dude, if you want to see how fucking wrestling in New Japan is done, you need to watch Hirooki Goto versus Konosuke Takeshita. Holy fuck, what a match. And by the end of that match, if you're not left believing that Goto is the fucking truth, like, you are kidding yourself. That crowd as well, like Gabe Kidd remarked, he's like, is this his hometown? He was laughing because the crowd was going absolutely sick. By the end of that match, they were 100% on board with Goto. And are we all sure that he's not going into the finals and not winning the G1? Maybe it's time for that gold watch. Maybe it's time for him to hold the title. Because I got no problem with a run for Goto. Jesus Christ, that was a sick match. It was so good. The WeWork Stiff Boys talked about it. They're like, Goto has such an amazing moveset, and nobody even rips it off. It's just Goto shit, and it's fucking awesome. And I've said it before, if you told me like a year ago that I'd be carrying on about Goto like this, I would have told you were a liar. But dude, absolutely loved it, eh? It was fucking killer. Loved it. And then what finished off? Oh, then it was Yoda Tsuji versus Ren. And then obviously Red loss, which was unfortunate, but I did think it was a really good match, and they did have me guessing right at the end. I was like, oh, maybe Red can do it for me because I get the 2 points for Red, but yeah. So anyway, I'm not going to run through all the points, all the standings, things like that. I just had to get on and bang on about Goto because fucking hell, that was sweet. All right, jumping over to night 11. It cranks up with Great O'Card defeating Callum Newman. United, another United Empire versus United Empire match. This was great. Really enjoyed the respect they showed each other. I really enjoyed the fire they hit each other with. It was a mirror in some aspects, in that sense, of Hedare and Jeff Cobb. But I think it was really interesting. I think Hedare was the right guy to get the win. I enjoyed the story that commentary was telling about how Callum says that, you know, Great O'Card's actually one of his biggest supporters, all of that kind of stuff. So that was really cool. Yeah, very keen to see where their story goes. But I think, yeah, I mean, leaders or no leaders and stuff, I do think that Great O'Card should be the centerpiece of United Empire for now. That would be my thoughts anyway. Okay, next up, Jake Lee defeating Gabe Kidd by count out. I gotta say, I have talked a lot of shit about Jake Lee in this tournament. Wasn't buying it at all. Gotta say, when he came through that curtain wearing the War Dogs jersey, carrying the two beers, and the shit-eating grin he had on his face, like, buddy, I'm here, we're just gonna have a beer. I kind of instantly was like, maybe I don't hate him. Maybe I like him. There's a charisma here I like. And I love that it was like, he's clearly gonna try and betray Gabe here. But then he never even gets the chance because Gabe betrays him first. Just fucking flies into him through the thing, wastes him, and he's just like, welcome to War Dogs, motherfucker. And I just loved it. And then Jake obviously gets the win, picks up the points. But it doesn't really hurt Gabe because he just kind of got the better of him in the moment. I did also think it was interesting. I was really starting to think that maybe we would see something from Jake Lee. Like maybe he doesn't fit War Dogs as well, has been the dialogue, especially over on WeWork Steve. Maybe he'd fit somewhere better like House of Torture. So I was thinking, oh, okay, well, maybe we see him, like, turn to evil and stuff to overcome Gabe. But no, stay with War Dogs. That may change, but I did think that kind of worked out for the best way to get him in a couple of extra points, keep him in the mix, but not devalue Gabe. Next up was Zack Sabre Jr., defeating Evil in 19 seconds. I love the Evil versus Zack Sabre Jr. series. Zack just always outsmarting him every time. This time, Evil thought he'd gotten the better of him. Zack's music is running for a while, and then he's being attacked backstage and kind of gets pushed through the curtain. Evil's trying to pin him, but of course, Zack reverses it, rolls him up, gets the pin, fucking gets out of there. Even after taking, you know, smoke to the eyes and a magic killer, the worst tag team move in human history. And then he runs off. And I loved how commentary were like, they've been chasing Zack Sabre Jr. around the building longer than the match actually took place. Which is good. So yeah, that was just real fast. Especially if Zack did take a bit of a stinger or a concussion after that Shingo match, if he was banged up, a nice little 19 second in and out to give him more time to recover for the next round, I think is very wise. So even if that wasn't their original plan, that it just suited their story of everything that's going on, especially with Vegeta not being around due to injury. Okay, next up, Naito defeated Shota. Didn't love that, but wasn't really surprised. I didn't think Shota was gonna win this one. I think his story is that he can't beat Naito, at least for now, and eventually he'll get that big win, but now isn't the time. So even if Shota does get to finals and things like that, I didn't think it was gonna be yet. I think he could pick up some wins on the back end, but I didn't think it was gonna go through. I did think this was better than their match in the past. They had two? One. Either way, it was the best match they've had together, I thought. I really enjoyed the fire out of Shooter in this. But yeah, 14 minutes, 47 seconds. Naito in and out. Here's the champ. Got the win. That's what it is. Next up, the darkest of days. Sonata defeating my boy Shingo Takagi. I'd be lying if I said I didn't suspect it as well. Sonata needed to get a few points, level things out, and I could have seen that go. I did think this was one of Sonata's better matches, though. He has been getting better. Do I care about him? Absolutely not. I did like the fire he was showing. I did like the way... I did like all the exchanges and stuff, all the near falls. I did like that when Deadfall put Shingo away, Shingo looked like he had his neck broken. He was selling it like it was death. I loved the sportsmanship between them, and I was left feeling good about it. So yeah, I can't be too mad. I can't be too mad, but I've really got to hope that now all of my sort of inter-West Coast captains matches are done, and now we're getting to the other side of it. Though Zach has still been winning, and Goto has been picking up wins, I really want to start to see Shingo and Shooter and Ren pick up at the end here, because Curtis has got a fucking lead on us all now. So let me run through those real quick. So as it stands at the end of round 11, the West Coast captains, your boy is on 34. Curtis has a massive lead at 40 points. That's right, 6 points ahead. So that is fucked. Josh and the Gold Coast Hot Takes are on 30. And then Dave and the Token World Terrorizers are on 26, if I've counted that all correctly. I don't think Dave's out of this yet, though. I think Gabe's got more wins in him. I think Yoda-Suji could very well fucking win it. Like, he's been a slow start, but I think he's going to start picking up wins rapidly. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he never lost again in this tournament. Who else has he got? Callum Newman, I'm sure he's got an upset left in him. Hanare's far from done. So I don't think Dave's out of it just yet. And neither's Josh for that matter. So we'll see, because Josh has Takeshita. He could be a finalist, if not a winner. But yeah, probably a finalist at the very least, or very close to. Jake Lee is obviously on the come up. ELP's now winning stuff, even though he's mathematically eliminated. I think he's going to keep on coming. So, yeah. And then, who else has Josh got? Oh, and then Yuya has backed off a bit, but I think he'll come back. He's sort of in that middle slump, but I think he's got some wins left in him as well. So, yeah, we'll see where it all shakes out. But I love how close the competition has been. And, yeah, I think it's far from over. Let's just run through. At the end of block 11, we've got Zack Sabre Jr. sitting on 10 points. We have Evil sitting on 10 points. We have Sonata on 8. Naito on 8. Gabe Kidd on 6. Shota on 6. Shingo on 6. Great O'Card on 6. Jake Lee on 6. Callum Newman on 4. So you see how easy these things flip. You know, Naito, like, Evil takes another loss. Naito and Sonata take a loss. The other guys win. They're back up ahead. You know, it can skip around. Just to give you... Curtis will have run through the B standings, but I'll give them to you real quick. Jeff Cobb is on 8. Finlay is on 8. Yuya is on 6. Takeshita is on 6. Hanare is on 6. Renderita's on 6. Goto's on 6. Suji's on 6. Oleg on 4 and ELP on 4. So I believe both of those two are mathematically eliminated. And maybe over in A, maybe Newman is. I think he is, yeah. But all those sixes could flip on a dime as well. So it's still many, many ways the G1 could go. I think it's the closest it's ever been. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what is next. Your good friend Curtis will be back to talk about block... talk about 12. And who's that going to see? think 12 has seen Jeff Cobb versus Oleg Bolton, Konosuke Takeshita versus El Fantasmo, Yoda Tsuji versus Hanare, Ren Narita versus Yuya, and Goto versus Finlay. So a lot going on there, and some ones that, like, especially for my team, like, I'm going to need Goto and Narita to perform. I'm going to need guys like Cobb and who else is fucking... I know, I'm going to need Curtis's guys to lose. I know that. So we will see how that plays out. I haven't seen Night 12 yet, so we'll see how it goes. That's all going to be really interesting. So thanks for listening. Bit bigger episode with me wetting my beak over on 12. Check out Count Out Network. Check out We Work Stiff. Check out Curtis's other show at Throwing Dice Pod, where he talks about hobby stuff. I cut him out last week as a tease, but seriously, check it out. They do great work over there if you like wargaming. I've been pretty obsessed with Marvel Crisis Protocol myself lately, and so has he. Been playing in tournaments and doing stuff whenever I have a chance, which is rare. But if you can or you're interested in that, drop in our DMs. Talk about it. If you want more of that, we'll talk about it over on our Patreon on Count Out Network over on the Sweet Spot. Check out everything at Faces Feels Cast for all my interview stuff, for all anything goes. Find out about the Curse of the Pharaoh. Find out about all my commentary work over at the likes of at DWMR Perth. We have shows coming back soon at Bleeding Gums Wrestling, where I am calling their next show Wire and Ice very soon over in Scotland. Lots to be into. Rate and subscribe, listen or die. Spirit of Fight, Style of Strong, Sweet Cast, Ichiban.
Hey, have you guys heard of the new show on the Count Out Network, the Ichiban Sweet Cast?
It's the brand new New Japan Pro Wrestling podcast starring the International Wrestling Grand Prix. That's me, your good friend Curtis Spears.
And me, your bad friend Rafe Hewson. And we're here to talk about everything New Japan Pro Wrestling, reacting to everything, getting worked up, getting very happy, sometimes crying. Kind of like something else we used to do, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the old Okada Shorts podcast, right?
Ah, that's right. And if you love that show, you're going to love this show because it's exactly the same show.
Yeah, we just had to change the name.
Yeah, we did. But you can check it everywhere on a social media handle that we haven't made yet.
Yeah, we're really new to this. So what you can do is search on your favorite podcast catcher of choice. Look for the Ichiban Sweet Cast.
Sweet Cast, Ichiban.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.